Hey, so what is this thing called born again? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not going back into your mother's womb to be born a second time. That's impossible because you're already a grown man or a grown woman. There's no way you can go back into your mother's womb to be born again. And it's also not being reincarnated. That's not what it is. But what it is, as I will explain, is being born of the only two manifestations of God to come into the earth. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Jesus was the first to ever mention those two words together like that. And he said it in the middle of the night. And you'll be asking, why in the middle of the night? Well, a Pharisee, in other words, one of the religious leaders, in fact, a leader, a teacher of other Pharisees and other Jews, wanted to know more about the kingdom, but he didn't want to find out in broad daylight in front of all his colleagues. So he arranged to meet Jesus in the middle of the night, and he wanted to know about this. So Jesus said to him, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Right? So you can't see it. And then he followed that up by saying in verse 5 of John chapter 3, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born of water and wind. Let me just backtrack a little bit. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, remember Jesus, when he first started his ministry, the first things he said were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. So basically, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom way of life, the kingdom culture, began with Jesus. Jesus was the one who introduced that to all of us. But what he was saying there is, you can't see it unless you're born again. Now, the reason you can't see it is because it's not that kind of thing. It's not like a church or a church building where you can see, oh, here it is or there it is. Because the kingdom, that culture, is in your heart. It's right here in you. It's something that has to be nurtured and cultivated. Okay, so then he said, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of water and wind. He used those two terms, water and wind, which are natural elements, to explain a spiritual reality. Basically, water represents the Word of God, because Jesus said, now you are clean because of the Word that I've spoken to you. That's in John chapter 15 and verse 3. And he also said concerning wind in John 3 and verse 8, he said, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So water represents the Word of God. Wind represents the Spirit of God. Now, when it says they're born again, it implies that there was an initial birth for there to be a second birth, right? Okay, so let me take you back, because before there was a first birth, there was Adam and Eve. Now, Adam and Eve were the first to be created. And they weren't born because God fashioned them with his own hands. That means they didn't have a navel. Only people who were born naturally had a navel. So Adam and Eve were the first human beings. But before they had their first experience of birth, they were deceived. Remember, they were given this paradise that they lived in. God gave them this instruction to dress it and keep it. In other words, to maintain it and guard it from intrusion. But they failed at that. That was their first assignment. They failed at that because of a being who was sharing or who was in that environment with them, an invisible being. And he kind of sold them a dream. They caught onto it and they were deceived. Now, what happened there after that is that the ground was cursed. A curse was issued. Various curses were issued, in fact. Now, when Adam was cursed, this is what God said, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles, in other words, weeds, shall it bring forth to you, and you will eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat till you return to the ground. Okay, so basically that's the curse that was given. What does that mean? It means that man was cursed to a system of each man for himself. So basically, they went into survival mode. Adam and Eve went into survival mode, and all the animals with them. As soon as man disobeyed God and listened to the voice of that intruder, Everything changed. The animals got wild. And you'd be saying to me, how do you know the animals got wild? Well, if you look at Genesis chapter 1 and verses 29 to 30, it says there that the animals and the humans were all vegetarians. So they stopped being vegetarians and they went wild as soon as Adam and Eve sinned. Everything changed because, remember, the animals got their identity from Adam. He named all of them. So at the end of the day, if he fell, everything fell. Everything in his environment fell. Everything was cursed. Now, after they were cursed, they were removed from the Garden of Eden. They were removed from paradise. They were removed from what we could even call the kingdom of heaven. Because, you know, God showed them only what is good. They were never exposed to anything that is evil. So as soon as they took on evil, they could no longer be in that place called paradise. Now, in that fallen state, in that corrupt state, they then had children. Now, those children are born naturally. That is Cain and Abel. They were born naturally. They were born of blood. That's what the Bible calls it. When these two children were born and they grew up, suddenly, well, not suddenly, but gradually, because the influence of that same being was still with them, they now had things like jealousy, suspicion, anger, and even this competitiveness that was never there before. Now, this is in a new world. The world that God created was the one in which he placed Adam in and told him to maintain it and guard it from intrusion. That was a system of control that God gave Adam, but he failed. And when he started listening to that being in his environment, he influenced Adam and Eve to be part of a new system of control, a new system of organization, and that system was corrupt. Within 1600 years, the world as it was after sin became more and more corrupt. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6, God says that the thoughts and the intentions of man's heart were only evil continually. And he also said the earth was corrupt and man, all of mankind was corrupt. So in that state, God didn't want to leave the world like that. So he destroyed it with a flood. Unfortunately, immediately after the flood, you know, God tasked Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives, to go out and start again to multiply and replenish the earth. The problem is that the being who influenced Adam and Eve was still there in their environment, and he continued to influence the humans thereafter, so that in 2400 years, the world became just as corrupt as it was before the flood. So what does this all got to do with born again, you'll be asking? Well, when they were born, they were already born in a sinful state. Because remember, when Adam and Eve sinned, when they disobeyed God, they went into a system of each man for himself. But in reality, what happens is that they went from being in the spirit to being in the flesh. In other words, they took on a nature that we now call human nature, which is just sinful to the core. Now, in that state, because Cain and Abel were born in a sinful state, everybody that came after them from Adam and Eve and from themselves, all their descendants were just as corrupt. The first nature was corruption. So Jesus once said, every good tree produces good fruit, but an evil tree produces evil fruit. And he also said there that an evil tree cannot produce good fruit. So basically, those humans in that evil and corrupted state did not have the ability to do anything good. They did not have the ability to establish something good because there was so much evil in them. And on top of that, they were being influenced by an evil being. But God always had a plan, you see. He always had a plan to be with man or to live amongst men. So to solve this problem, he had a plan of salvation. And what he did, instead of sending another flood, was that he sent his son Jesus to come and redeem the world. Because remember, Jesus said in John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world, that world that he created and gave to Adam, that he gave his only begotten son, he was now sending his son into the world, that whoever believes in him, in the son, would not perish, but would have eternal life. He added to that, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So there's two things there, like I've mentioned before. Man being reconciled to God, and then the world being saved, the world being reconciled to God. But now, Jesus also said, like I said at the beginning, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. So, this system where man is redeemed and then the world is reconciled to God, that's the kingdom of God. That's the culture that Jesus was bringing in. And he was saying, you can't see that culture unless you're born again. Okay, now let me move on from there. You see, he says you can't enter the kingdom of God. Now, I need to just explain that a little bit, because Jesus also said, enter through the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in that way. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And only a few enter that way. He says that it leads to life. What life is that? That word life is the Greek word zoe, which means the God kind of life, the kind of life that Jesus lived, the kingdom way of life. All right, so kingdom is a way of life. It's a culture. It's a state of being or mindset. All right, so you can't have that unless you are born again, or born of water and wind, born of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. All right, so Jesus was saying you enter that way of life through a narrow gate, a straight gate. In other words, there aren't many options there for you. Because remember at the beginning, Adam and Eve were created in the spirit. They knew nothing about the flesh. They knew nothing about sin. They knew nothing about evil. So that was a very narrow life, a narrow perspective. That's what God wants his children to partake of. Even though they're born into this world, into the sinful, corrupt world, he wants us to have a narrow perspective. In other words, he wants us to live a disciplined life, a disciplined zoe kind of life. Because besides the zoe kind of life, there's also what's called psuche, psuche. That's the normal life, the life that we have in which we make our own decisions. That's a human kind of life. That's a life where we have control. But the God kind of life is a life where we say, I'm born again. I'm going to live a disciplined life. I'm going to follow the ways of Jesus. Now, when he said, enter by the straight gate, that was in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. But later on, in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. All right, so now, he's saying none of those people that he just mentioned will enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? They must be born again. Because, you know, you can say, Lord, Lord. You can be in a place where you recognize Jesus as Lord. But that's as far as you go. You become that made-over Christian, that makeover Christian, who has received the Word of God and the Spirit of God, which, by the way, are the only two manifestations of God to come to the earth. You can have received those two, and yet you do not know Jesus. Because at the end of that, he says to those people who say, Lord, Lord, you will plead your case to me by saying, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out devils in your name? Did I not perform many miraculous works in your name? Even though those things were done in the name of Jesus, that doesn't mean that those people were walking on the narrow road, because that narrow road demands that you have a relationship with Jesus. Not just a relationship, but a strong, close, personal, two-way relationship with Jesus. That's when you are born again. That's when you are walking on the narrow road. Because, let's face it, how is it going to be possible for you to follow the ways of Jesus if you're walking on a broad road? Or if you're going to a Broadway church, in other words, a church that doesn't lead you into a relationship with Jesus, they lead you into everything else. They have lights, camera, action. They allow you to do all sorts of things. But they don't lead you into that strong, close, personal, two-way relationship with Jesus. They don't. So what Jesus was saying about this kingdom way of life is that it's not going to be business as usual. It's not going to be living your life like the people in the world live. It's a disciplined walk. In fact, he said, if you don't leave your whole life behind, you cannot be his disciple. The problem is that the church has not taught this to us, has not taught us that we need to be disciplined. We need to be one-track minded. In other words, set our minds set on Jesus, on our minds set on his way of life, or else we would not make it. He wanted us to be in tune with him, seeking him only, listening to his voice only. And then in that state, once we are reconciled to Jesus that way, then he can reconcile the world back to himself. Because let's face it, if you are not born again, if you are not that disciplined, if you are not living within the words of Jesus, within his culture and manner of life, if you are still benefiting from the world, if you are still depending on the systems of the world, if you are participating in everything that the world does, how are you going to be able to reconcile that same world back to Christ? Now, maybe you're asking, why does the world need reconciling? Well, because first of all, man was made corrupt when he first sinned, when he disobeyed God. When he became corrupt, he was open to any kind of manipulation, any kind of deception. And he has been deceived over the last 6,000 years. As a result, we have this world that we live in. And Jesus came to reconcile first us to himself and then the world that we live in back to him. That's the systems of the world. He wants those back. When Jesus raised his disciples, what happened is that he had 11 people. This is after he died and rose again. He had 11 people, which were increased to 12 later on. 11 people who were just like him. Okay, how were they just like him? Because they forsook the world. They left their lives behind. They separated themselves from their families so that they could sit at Jesus' feet and find out what his culture is, what his manner of life is, what his vision for the world is, and how he was going to set about reconciling the world back to himself. Right? He started with those people. And in Acts, they are even called little Christs. So there were 11 or 12 little Christs moving around. And those are the ones who went into Jerusalem and Judea and started that new system that I've already talked about. All right. So now, unfortunately, that system was curtailed because after a few years, a couple of hundred years, the church headquarters was moved from Jerusalem to Rome. And in that move, there was a lot of persecution of that way of life, about that kingdom culture. And those in power at that time, like Constantine and others who came after him, they wanted to have their form of Christianity because they were Christians. And yet they were first steeped in idol worship. So they restricted the teachings of these early disciples and were more inclined to live by systems that they could accept or understand. So that culture of the kingdom was basically set aside because people were afraid to follow the traditions and the teachings of the first disciples of Jesus. And unfortunately, the church over the ages continued in that way of thinking so that that whole kingdom culture was forgotten. And this living on the narrow road has been forgotten. Because remember, Paul said, come apart from them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. Right? So God was setting a standard there. He was making it clear that you have to separate yourself from the world. I know that the church is teaching that you can't be a part of this world and not interact with the people in the world. Well, the thing is that the problem that we have today is that we are interacting too much with the world, so much so that the world has come into the church. And because of that, pastors are worldly. And as a result, the people in the church have become made over Christians. In other words, they have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, but they haven't undergone that internal transformation that causes them to be able to walk on the narrow road, because they've received those two manifestations of God, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, right? Today, religion is happy to have a church full of people. As long as people are dancing and raising their hands and paying their tithes and offerings, they're not really pushing that hard for people to be disciplined, for people to have a relationship with Jesus. By the way, every church, all those five gifts given to the church, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher, all of them are supposed to point every single person that comes to Christ to a relationship with him. Because remember, Paul said, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the priests were the mediators between God and man. But when Jesus came and shed his blood on the cross, he did that so that we could have a direct relationship with him, or a direct relationship with the Father through him. Right? We don't need to go through a man anymore. Now, I'm saying all this because I want you to join this conversation. This is not a conversation that's been had for many, many years. And we need to talk about these things, because the world is not changing. Jesus wanted the world to be reconciled back to him. That's not happening. The wealth of the nations is still in the hands of a few rich unbelievers. And yet, Jesus came with a system of sharing, with a system of one another. He said, a new commandment I give you. Because early on, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. But he kind of remixed that commandment and said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That was a pure kind of love. That was an unconditional kind of love that Jesus had for his disciples. It was a one another or an other-centered kind of love. That's why the New Testament is full of one another scriptures, because it's a shared life. You know, fellowship, even that word fellowship means the shared life. So that's the conversation we need to have. But how do we move forward from here? Because we have to reconcile this world back to God. If we don't, we're heading for oblivion, because the systems of the world, such as they are leading us towards destruction. Man in this each man for himself state can only destroy. He doesn't know how to mend. He doesn't know how to build. I'm talking about building relationships, building nations in a sharing mode. That can't happen unless we, who have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, take center stage and move away from being sheep to being leadership. I'm not saying leadership. I'm talking about leadership. Now, you can Google that term, leadership. These were not just ordinary sheep, but sheep who had this ability to lead, this ability to see danger coming and know how to act, how to behave, right? So God wants a different kind of sheep out there. Sheep was a term he used to refer to believers who are obedient to him. Now, can you imagine being a leader sheep? That means that you're going to be a cut above the rest. You're going to be different. That's why Peter said, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're not a royal priest if you're the same as your buddy next door. You know, God showed me a vision once when I was grappling with this message. He showed me a vision of two men who lived in the same suburb, right? They had the same kind of job. Each of them was a managing director in his business. The house they lived in, or the houses they lived in, were identical. Both houses were like two stories high, four bedrooms, right? Because they each had three children. They had like several cars in the driveway, all these high-end vehicles. Each child had a gadget that he used or watched in his own room. The only thing was that one of them was a Christian. But I could not tell which one of them was a Christian. That then showed me that the made-over Christians, or the makeover Christians, they look just like the world. The only thing that's different is that they go to church on Sunday. But if they go to church on Sunday, Why is it that you can't tell the difference between them and the guy in the world? Because they don't have that close, strong, personal, two-way relationship with Jesus that actually goes through that, or actually takes them through the process of changing from inside, being transformed from the inside, so that they could actually go into the world and begin the process of reconciling it back to God. Just stay with me in this conversation, and we'll touch on more things.